This is Michael Carbone with the Truth Network. We're partnering with Bible League International on Open the Floodgates, Bibles for Africa. In many parts of countries like Kenya, Ghana, Tanzania, and Mozambique, as many as 9 out of 10 Christians are denied God's word by corrupt governments, majority religions, and poverty and remoteness. $5 sends a Bible, $100 sends 20, $500 sends 100. Call 800-YES-WORD. That's 800-937-9673. Thank you for caring.
Hey, this is Mike Zwick from If Not For God podcast. Our show, Stories of Hopelessness Turned Into Hope. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it. Share it. But most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Coming to you from an entrenched barricade deep in the heart of Central North Carolina. Masculine Journey After Hours, a time to go deeper and be more transparent on the topic covered on this week's broadcast. So sit back and join us on this adventure. The Masculine Journey After Hours starts here now.
Welcome to Masculine Journey After Hours, and we are talking this week about last week. That's what we're talking about last week. We're talking about last weekend specifically. In the boot camp that we had, and it, man, it was an amazing, amazing time. Jim, you've been to many, 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 many of these in your short lifetime. This, to me, was one of the top ones that we had. I don't know how you felt about it.
For me, it was a very interesting one. It was very different. And for me, that means it's a great one because I like different. But there were a lot of things that went on that, and mine was sort of a roller coaster emotionally. And one of the emotions, I guess I'm leading into a clip here. Mm-hmm. there's a clip we've used always.
Every boot camp, yeah.
From the movie The Kid. And this is where Russ and Rusty, the same person, get together after Dad has caused a major father wound in the little one and Rusty. And this clip has always emoted, usually tears, but at least getting choked up for me. And during the boot camp, Sam said it always had for him as well. Mm-hmm. But we're going to watch the movie and then we can talk about it.
We may listen to it.
Yeah, maybe we'll listen to it. Yeah. I'm still at boot camp watching it, and I will see everything that goes on. And somebody has to be funny here, so here you go.
Go ahead. Yeah, you, in your mind, Jim, you're watching it.
Well, close your eyes. You can follow along. What's happening here is little Rusty has Russell Duritz has hit his 40th birthday. And he's kind of got this pattern and this plan for his life. And as God often disrupts, he disrupts this time by sending 8-year-old Rusty, himself as a little kid, back into his life. And then they journey back in time to try to figure out how they got so broken. And then this scene comes in with the dad. There's a little bit in here. Sound like Porky Pig myself there. little bit in here that he talks about losing a screw. He's earlier in the show, he's lost a screw with his that his dad needed, and he thinks that's why his dad's mad, but we'll go ahead and pick it up and listen to it.
Mom, Daddy.
Gloria, what are you doing? You got out of your mind?
I'm fine.
You stay there.
Please don't scare him. He's had a hard day.
Gloria, the doctor said you wanted to leave the house. Kill her faster.
What?
We're gonna lose. You pull some stunt like you did today. You're killing her.
I found the screw, Dad. Look, screw.
Stop crying.
Here's the screw, Dad. Look, here it is. Here it is. I found it.
Stop
Please,
crying.
Daddy, look at the screw. Here it is.
Stop crying. Stop. You gotta grow up now. Do you understand? Grow up. Grow up!
Mm-hmm.
mom's dying.
I know.
Soon?
Yeah. Before your next birthday.
Did I do it?
No. No, you didn't do it. It's not your fault. Dad was just saying those things because he's scared. Because he knows that he has to raise you alone. He doesn't know how to do it.
I thought you never cried.
Not since my 8th birthday.
And it is important to know this is his 8th birthday, and he's losing his mom before the next one. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to force Sam to go first, but I'll go ahead and jump in.
Please do.
This, Sam said that he had always been moved by this scene and then discovered a wound in that. But in this, if I've got a wound, I'm not aware of it yet, but there may be, and God may show it. But I've always felt so much compassion for everybody in this scene. Little Rusty, Russell, the adult, and Dad, because he and the fact that Russell understands what his father was going through now, 32 years later, but he's also able to let himself know at 8 years old that it's not his fault. It's okay. You know, this is, it's part of life, but you didn't do anything wrong. And that's a big theme in these two.
It is. You know, and one of the things, if you watch the movie, older Russell does not have a good relationship with his dad. He's very distant and very cold to him. So they're both getting healing at this exact same time. Older Russell just has the age and experience to articulate it to the younger one, right? And it's really pretty cool, you know, and I wonder, you know, what that relationship with the dad looks like, you know, later on when they get back and there's healing on Russell's side now. You know, we don't get that in the movie, but it is such a great movie. It wasn't a long stretch for me to know why it always choked me up, because I was that dad, especially with my youngest son. He was very strong-willed. I'm very strong-willed. It didn't work well together, you know, and when I would see that clip, it would remind me that I had wounded him. You know, until God came in and did some healing in his life, we had some open conversations, not in God's life, my son's life. we had some open conversations about, you know, how he felt growing up and how I felt and what was else was going on in life, because there was a lot going on that he didn't know about. You know, that, you know, and I could ask for his forgiveness and we could really just talk through that. And then God speaking into my heart at the boot camp before this one, just basically telling me some things that let me let it go, knowing that that's no longer who I am and I haven't been for a long time. But the enemy wants to say, remember when you did this, remember when you were like this, and he wants you to hold on to that, right? And God say, no, that's not been true for a long time here. So let's get perspective and let's move forward. And that was the first time at camp I could actually watch that clip, not feel condemnation and breakdown and feel like I was going to start bawling, you know, and that's just all because of God's healing. And the healing especially is done in my son's life. You know, we have the closest relationship we've ever had over these last few years.
And I have a similar, I felt like I was a crummy dad. I didn't take the time that my father took with me. Mm-hmm. And I also was harsh with my boys frequently. And my first boot camp or two, I'd go to them multiple times. Oh, no, they remembered things being fine. And I wasn't as bad as I thought, but that was the enemy working on me as well. So it's, and yeah, there were a lot of things that I regretted, but the unconditional love that my father made clear to me, when I don't see it in other relationships with fathers, it breaks my heart. Mm. And that's kind of why this, I think I will always get teary over that scene.
Well, you see the damage the enemy's doing. The dad's scared, right? He doesn't know what he's going to do. He's losing his wife. He doesn't know how to take care of an 8-year-old kid. You know, all those emotions are coming out at
this kid he loves, right? I mean, it's just, you just see the enemy all in the midst of it, and everybody gets wounded in the process. You know, it's a shotgun blast. It's not a rifle blast. You know, everybody's going to get hit with some shrapnel. You know, it's not really shrapnel. It's buckshot, I guess, but still, you know what I mean.
And it was this particular clip that was part of this boot camp that got to me in a kind of a different way. It was when we went into Dakota Silence after this talk, God showed me my six-year-old self. And that kind of led into some of the stuff I've already talked about. But, you know, that identity of, you know, I came from a world where I was an only child and king of my own castle at six. And God gave me the name Appraiser. He said, you see value in people and you take that at face value that they will see the value in you and when they didn't. And so that was that clip. I could just see it. Just I can see my first grade picture that I have always despised to see as plain as day. And I kind of like the kid now. So.
Yeah. And that was,
No, go ahead.
Well, that was one of the big things about this that I saw is that we can see exactly the same clip and get such diverse things from it. And you added another dimension, and it's probably true for everybody that was there that saw this. God gave them something special to them out of the same experience.
Yeah, and I didn't really have anything of value to say. It wasn't a big deal. I was just gonna say that he probably gave you, you missed part of the name, as good appraiser. I work in the housing industry. There's some really bad appraisers out there. So.
I've done some bad appraising in my life too. So
okay, appraiser works fine. Who am I to second guess God? Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm going to go ahead and move to my clip before I stick my foot in my mouth some more. But before I do that, Andy, you wanted to make a point about something. You know, these clips aren't really the most uplifting clips we've ever played, right? And so it makes boot camp kind of sound like Debbie Downer.
Yeah, you know, it's Robbie's fault. He's the laugh track guy, and he's not here. So nobody stood up and was a pinch hitter for him. So we did, you know, boot camp can be a very serious thing. I mean, we're talking about going after men's hearts. We talk about, you've heard us talking about the wounds. There's things in it. But it also talks about a merry heart does like medicine to us. Mm-hmm. And there was a merry heart the entire time we were there. So we don't have to have a clip to prove that. Mm-hmm. Any of the guys that were there would tell you there was a lot of laughter, a lot of joy, a lot of you're wanting the mic? Will you hold on, please? No, I'll finish up real quick here, Jim. But it really was a good time. Of just a lot of, and particularly our team, I think it's important that we stay connected and joyful, and then that rubs off on the other guys. But they brought it themselves. They all had great spirits about them, and it made ministry just work. And then you know that they went back with a light heart into whatever mm-hmm. situation they had.
Yeah, Jim.
Boy, I'm glad you were quick. I never am, but this is one of the things I have seen in my life is the closer I get to God, the more I laugh and the more I cry.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I think the other things about camp that we don't talk often enough is the activities. You know, there's a lot of bonding. You know, you had the Andy Airsoft experience.
Yeah.
Right, which is more fun than it sounds.
Yeah. I actually got to play this time too, so that was good. But, you know, that goes into that whole fun we're having. This was a really good group. We had a lot of fun. Just some ideas on what we've run into in the past, though, that I thought was really funny is we gave some liberty and freedom to guys. We're running around in the woods, and it was like, if you find something, you can use that as a shield to protect you. And these some guys, we had some young guys in the past, and they were really creative. I remember there was an old mattress laying out in the
woods,
in the woods, and you know how much rain is actually in it. I mean, how heavy it is, and this guy's dragging along as his. And then some dude found an old dead Christmas tree, and he was using that as his shield. So, you know, that's some of the crazy stuff we do. It's just out there and just having a good time.
Most people just use Robbie as a shield.
That's true. I mean, he's out there. He's taking quite a few hits.
I have his chair tonight, and I also got him killed during airsoft. So.
Yeah.
Probably why he's not
Thank
here.
Thank you very much, actually.
And to help explain the lighting technician expert, it's literally a switch.
It's sort of like he's dealing
now
with
now I got another
man.
Wound to deal with.
Exactly. But, you know, we've all done it. We've all taken our turn, and we've all messed up. We didn't
It is
it
a
up
switch. Our... It's not even a double throw switch. It is literally on and off.
Yeah.
And I missed it like two or three times.
Yeah. He only got called out from the stage one time.
He did. One time, but that was enough. You know.
Yeah.
And I finally graduated out of it, I guess, but I don't really like
But you were salty about it, though.
Absolutely. I was not. No, the supervisor didn't come over and tell me that there would be somebody taking my shift and taking that role. And,
you were let go, Andy.
It was a need. It was a need to know.
And every
basis.
Time, every time that Danny failed, I was over there cheering.
You were cheering. Yeah. My favorite time that we did it for the first probably four or five boot camps, the most educated guy in the room was running it. Jim, do you remember Peter, who's an emergency room, not emergency room, intensive care
physician.
We had him on the lights for I don't know how many boot camps.
Did he mess up as much as Andy did?
You did okay. Yeah,
Andy.
He messed up more than Danny, less than Andy, is how we would go, you know, kind of in that order. That's why Andy had to do it for so many turns until he perfected it. At the end, he did get it perfected pretty well. Well, moving on to my clip. This is actually a clip from the beauty talk that I used, but it really applies. It's to a beautiful thing that happened at camp. And so I'm going to go ahead and play it. But what you have here, it's from Bruce Almighty. Early in the movie, Bruce's character, Bruce is a character played by Jim Carrey, thank you, you know, is dating a lady named Grace. They live together, and he gets the power of God for a short period of time and messes up the relationship with her, chases after her for most of the movie. And then you get towards the end, and you have Bruce and Morgan Freeman, who's playing God, not Norman Mandela this time, but not Norman. Norman Mandela?
Nelson
Mandela, yeah. Wow, I can't talk. Or Norman Mandela. His lesser-known brother, Norman Mandela. But yeah, they're having a conversation in heaven, you know, and this is Bruce and God.
What do you want me to do? I want you to pray, son. Go ahead. Use them. Lord, feed the hungry and bring peace to all of mankind. How's that?
Great. If you want to be Miss America. Now, come on. What do you really care about?
Grace.
Grace. You want her back?
No. I want her to be happy. No matter what that means, I want her to find someone. With all the love she deserved from me. I want her to meet someone. Who'll see her always as I do now. Through your eyes.
Now that's a prayer.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's good.
It's good. I'm gonna get right on it.
It's good. Yeah, it is good. The part of that, it was, you know, obviously his heart had changed, right? And he was doing something out of love for someone else, not expecting anything in return. Right, and that's the way we really should be doing things, is, you know, out of love. And so what happened at boot camp was, you know, part of boot camp is pretty scripted in the standpoint there's certain talks we do every boot camp. They may change in order slightly, but it's certain talks you do at every boot camp. And then there's some other times that we flex with God.
you know, and there may be an additional talk here or a couple talks, or it may be a prayer time that we do. It may be different things. And this time we just felt like we were called to do a couple different things. And one of them on Sunday morning was a question and answer session. You know, and so when the first person to talk, you know, that had a question said, hey, could you pray for our hearts? They've been wounded. You know, God's kind of showed us these wounds, and could you pray for us? You know, and the team said, yeah, we'll just do it right now. And so we each kind of walked out and just prayed over one person, just kind of listening to what whatever God had to say to them, and prayed over them, and thought, okay, that was really cool. That's awesome. You know, and came back and sat down. And then the next person that asked said something, said, hey, how can we pray for you? What do you guys need? And so, you know, we went through, and as a team, we were honestly probably the most open. I know definitely the most open we've ever been at any boot camp, just sharing where God's had us. You know, we've had lots of healing and lots of restoration, but there's always more. You know, and this is where we're at today. And those guys, the campers, you know, the people, the attendees, you know, came up and prayed over us. And that was just so amazing to have them speak from their heart what they're hearing from God over us. You know, that's never happened in a camp. I don't know that it'll happen again. But, you know, the guys, you know, some of you had to leave earlier, but wasn't that really amazing to have that happen, and really and amazing. How genuine they were in wanting to pray for us.
Yeah, really amazing. I wasn't sure what was going to happen, but yeah, it was just so sweet to have somebody pray from their heart and, you know, over you, because one of the dangers of ministry and leadership is people look to you for answers, and you pose and say, think you got all the answers, and to open up to the people and go, hey, here's where we're at, is authenticity, I think. So,
yeah, we make it pretty obvious we need prayer.
Yeah.
You had to be clueless.
From the air or on the boot camp, yeah, you can see we need prayer.
Yeah, we probably should have done collective prayer for you since you were gone.
He was one of the ones that left. And it turned out that was seven on staff and seven campers left after it sorted out. So that to me spoke volumes about it being God. One of the things about this camp that was unique to me and very special is it's the first time I haven't, well, let me start from the other end. It's it's probably the most spiritually mature group we've mm-hmm. ever had as campers. And it's the first time I didn't feel like, I felt like I was just one of the entire group instead of, you know, staff campers being separated. And they treated us that way. And that made that even more special to me.
Yeah, I think there's a lot, you know, when you come back to where we had it at Carolina Bible Camp, there's really a lot that brings intimacy there. You literally are eating there with the guys at the same tables. You know, we're sharing meals with them, and we're speaking in the same room that's curtained off, and it's curtained off in a way that it's a very intimate setting. You know, and at the place that we were before, it's got its own attributes, but that's not one of them. You go eat in a totally different area. Sometimes you're completely separated from the guys because we're eating, trying to get stuff ready. You know, that type of thing. But here, there was just a whole lot of intimacy. And it was a very spiritually mature group. Not that the others in the past weren't. We were just able to see it very closely from a 19-year-old kid, a young man that is very mature for his age, you know, all the way up to, I don't know who the oldest camper was, probably not your age, Harold, but
I was definitely the oldest.
Yeah.
Methuselah wasn't there.
Yeah, yeah.
I was trying to figure that out, and I think it was someone in the high 50s.
Yeah, I was thinking it was probably high 50s, you know, and so we had a big range there. And I think, you know, just from coming from different walks of life and backgrounds, we had some definite diversity, right? But it all clicked in unity. And it was really pretty cool, and this was a very relaxed camp. You know, we didn't really have any technical issues, thankfully. We really didn't have any spiritual issues, the one that, you know, the enemy tried to get between Danny and I, you know, God was able to intervene and avoid that. You know, it really was just a very peaceful, restful camp in the midst of God doing some amazing work.
Yeah, I think we were all kind of concerned that we didn't have a larger group. I mean, we've typically had larger groups than this, but I think the previous one wasn't that big of a difference. But, you know, I think that's just another thing of where you just have to trust God. We want to impact the whole world if we can, you know. But we also know the way God did it, he picked his 12. Jesus picked his 12 and went with those guys. And we just have to trust God knows what he's doing when he's putting those things, you know, together. And I think that's what he's probably trying to show us in this, is that there was a lot of fruit. There were things that we had never seen before, but we had never had a group that small and that dynamic. And the individuals, of course, he knows who's coming. Mm-hmm. He knows that what probably brought some guys to come out a little bit more, just and talking and being open, just because it was a smaller setting. So.
Yeah, and what was kind of funny was to see guys pair off with people that you probably wouldn't have talked to outside of camp.
Right, yep.
Because you wouldn't have come in contact with them.
Yep.
Right, or if you did, you would think there's so much difference. And then they realize that they're all sons of God.
Yeah.
Right? And there's commonality there, the most commonality you need to have. And they had things to share. We did have a camper in their 60s. But every activity that God kind of laid on our heart, the weather was only good one night to have the bonfire that we wanted to have. And there was conversation, do we have it or don't have it? You know, people want to go down. It's a smaller group. We had it. And one of the guys, from one of the campers spoke and really completely impacted the camp. You know, just from sharing his testimony, you know, and we were able to pray over him. And I think, you know, according to what he said the next day, he got some healing on some old stuff.
Yeah.
Which is really, really pretty cool. And it was funny to see, you know, the youngest guy in the camp to be the first one to jump up and then the next guy coming up. And, you know, they were all right there for one another, which was really cool. Do you have anything to say, Danny? You're looking at me. I didn't know if you had something you wanted to say.
You were talking.
Thank you. I don't know what polite is.
And the appraisal of that was.
The appraisal of that, yeah. Yeah, I'm still reeling over Norman Mandela. I don't know where I got that one.
Norman.
Yeah, I think his good friend's called Norman.
We're never really sure where you get a lot of things.
I'm really pretty certain his good friend's called Norman.
Yeah, it's his half-brother. Yeah. Third time, you know, twice removed and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So coming up for this next boot camp, what do you think people need to know? We've got about a minute here, but what do you think people need to know about, other than just trust God and come?
Oh, yeah. Because that's where my mind went first. You got to trust God. You got to be open. You got to let things flow and let him talk through you, because it's just amazing when you can let him lead.
Yeah. We could do 100 shows on boot camp and never tell you what a boot camp really is. Because we try the best, but it's just God showing up in cool ways.
The biggest thing is you're going to have an encounter with God. We don't matter.
Right. And if you want to do that, go to masculinejourney.org. It's November 18th through the 21st, right ahead of Thanksgiving. Go register now.
This is the Truth Network.